Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Thank you. Thank you, Etta. Thank you, team. I guess once a worship leader, always a worship leader, right? Wonderful. Turn with me in your Bible to John 15, the 15th chapter of John. We are going to cut this sermon today is just kind of introduce some things that we're going to do for a good part of this year. And I felt very impressed to look at kind of two areas of life, and that is how God designed for us to relate to Him and how God designed for us to relate to other people. The greatest areas of our life where we're going to find joy and peace and fulfillment or discouragement, pain, is those two primary things in our life, our relationship to God and our relationship to people. And God wants them to work. God wants them to be healthy. But the fact is, sometimes they're not. And so I think this year we're going to perhaps go just dig a bit deeper into God's Word to help us to understand. But before we do so, John 15, verse 5, I want to look today at how God designed our heart, because that's where we live from and that's where we live out of. John 15, verse 5, Jesus said, "I am the vine and you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit." Everybody say, "much fruit." "For without me, you can do nothing." And fruit is when our life is working as God designed for it to work. How many of you have a fruit tree at your home or maybe near your home? Maybe your neighbor's mango branch passes over your wall fence and they fall onto your property. When we were staying in Livingston a couple of weeks ago at the guest lodge, they had a big, huge mango tree. But a mango tree is supposed to produce mangoes, all right? And it's not weird, it's just that's normal. And so a Christian is to bear fruit. And there are so many areas of our life that can be fruitful. Those of you that are married today, and you've got a husband, you've got a wife, God designed marriage to be a wonderful relationship where love is given, love is received, there is support, there's care, there's intimacy, there's knowledge. God designed for it to be that way, okay? Not all marriages work that way. But that doesn't change God's design. All right? If you're working at a company, if you have a job, God designed for that to be a place where you find there's fulfillment. At the end of the day, you feel, you know, I made a difference for this world. I contributed. My life meant something. And then at the end of the month, they say thank you, right? And you receive for what you did. And so there's a way that God designed the world to work. And it is, our life is to be fruitful, bearing fruit. Now, Jesus used an analogy here of agriculture, of speaking of a vineyard, of a vine and a branch. Something was planted, and then these grapes come, and they bless the world. We'll see later in Mark chapter 4, Jesus uses another agricultural analogy, okay? But turn with me here to Genesis chapter 1. Genesis chapter 1. And we're going to see how God designed this from the very beginning. And you're going to see there's a lot of parallels to how God designed the earth to work and God designed our life to work. Again, Jesus invited us into these parables and these illustrations. Genesis chapter 1 and verse 9. "Then God said, 'Let the waters under the heavens be gathered together into one place, and let the dry land appear.' And it was so." Aren't you glad that when God says something, it is so? "And God called the earth, the dry land, earth, and the gathering together of the waters he called seas. And God saw that it was good. Then God said, 'Let the earth bring forth grass, the herb that yields seed, and the fruit tree that yields fruit according to its kind, whose seed is in itself on the earth.'" Now, do you see here that when God was creating the earth, God did not speak speak fruit trees into being. Do you see that? God did not say, grass, appear. He did that with the animals. He did it with some other things. But he said, earth, bring forth grass that has seed. Earth, bring forth fruit trees that have fruit. And then the seed of that fruit tree is in the fruit itself. Can you see that? All right. So God designed the earth to bring forth. Tell your neighbor, bring forth. All right. To produce. And this is the way God made the earth. It is also the way God designed human beings. Now, people that study these facts and figures tell us that in the earth today, there are 7 billion people. That's a lot of people. The world population is not being rebased. Okay? This is our 10th year in Zambia, but when we arrived here, there were just under 10 million. Now there's 13.5 million. When I was born in 1967 in America, there was about 100 million people. Now there's over 300 million people. All right? But how many of you know God did not populate the earth? God doesn't create human beings. He gave that job to us. If we carry on in Genesis, God delegates that responsibility. He made this beautiful earth that is perfect to be inhabited by mankind. And then he told Adam and Eve, fill the earth. Or if you're a young person and you don't know how that works, talk to your parents after church. We're not going to go into the details of that, all right? God did not populate the earth. We did. He gave that job to us. He gave that command to us. Now, it's my opinion, when you look at the Bible, it seems as though that is the only command in the whole Bible that mankind has obeyed. Consistently, age to age. We just keep having babies, don't we? All right, well, good for us, okay? God created mankind to reproduce, to fill. He also gave man the responsibility on the earth. He said, I'm giving you this earth. This is in Genesis 1, 26 and then 28. He said, reign. The Hebrew word is subjugate, like a king over subjects. You be in charge of this earth. Till the ground. Help it to produce. My wife and I, when we got away for 2.5 days to Livingston between Christmas and New Year's, and on our way driving, we noticed place after place after place, there was lots of plots where crops were coming up. A lot of maize that was about maybe a meter high. And how many of you know none of that maize got planted by accident? It didn't fall from the sky. There weren't angels that came at night and said, you know what, these people really need to eat. So let us come. You know, God loves us so much. We'll just sort this out for people. No, people planted those seeds. Now, they planted it into an earth that God created to bring forth. And so, because people planted at the right time, and they used fertilizer, and they were doing the right thing, it began to grow. But it had not yet begun to bear fruit yet. Now, the other thing that we noticed as we were driving is in so many of these places where we saw crops coming up, we saw people with shovels and hoes, wearing hats. What were they doing? They were tilling the ground. Because just because the seed had started to grow, there was still work to be done. The ground had to be kept soft. There were weeds that had to be pulled that would stunt the growth of the crop. We've seen on the news these worms that have come. All right, people were actively working the ground so that it would bring forth. Now, this was just an observation. It is not a sermon, just an observation. But in 80% of the instances where we saw people in the fields, it was women in the fields working. I am sure their husbands had very important things to do. And they were working just as hard somewhere else. Just saying. Okay? But the fact is, We, for the earth, we are involved in the process for fruit to grow. Now, as a kid, I grew up in the same town for 18 years in the western part of Maryland on the east coast of the United States. And we had had a couple factories that had shut down before I was born. And there was just kind of one factory left. But a lot of the people where I grew up were farmers. And there weren't huge malls and there weren't, you know, housing complexes. And a lot didn't take very long for you to drive and you'd be driving by a farmer's field. And lots of maize fields. And a lot of my friends in high school, they grew up on farms. And so when I went to school, they had already worked for 2 hours milking the cows and taking care of this and taking care of that. All right, very, very hardworking, great people that I grew up with. But the fact is, growing up, I thought that it was very normal at certain times of the year, especially spring and summer, that crops would produce. And you would see them small, you'd see them grow. And then somewhere between July and August, then at our home, there would be a feeding frenzy. Fresh fruit and vegetables. You know, throughout the year, you could buy it in a tin. You could get it, you know, these old green, yellow tomatoes that don't have any taste. But in July and August, and I thank God he created me skinny, all right? Because we would just eat and eat and eat. And there was this sweet silver corn. And unless you've ever had it, you haven't had it. And we would just eat it until corn would come out of our ears, and raspberries and strawberries and figs and zucchini and tomatoes, and we would just eat and eat and eat and eat. All right. But again, growing up, I thought that was normal. The earth produces. And I knew the people that helped make it produce. We had a garden in our home and we'd have tomatoes, and I had to be the one to pick it and to till it. And so I learned that if you're going to eat, that's how life works. Okay? Now, there's another place in this earth that God wants to produce that was created to bring forth. And that is the heart of men and women. God designed the heart of men and women to bring forth. All right? Remember Jesus said this, that good men out of the good treasure of their heart bring forth good things, right? That's not surprising. Evil men, out of the evil treasure of their heart, they bring forth evil things. We see that every day, don't we? Right? I hope you get to be around good people. And whether you try to or not, probably you are around evil people or evil drivers. You know, there's a place near my house, it's a four-way stop. You know, that means everyone stop. On the way to church today, I almost lost my salvation. This guy didn't want to stop. This taxi driver. I don't believe in sending curses, but if I did, he would have gotten one, all right? So, but there are good people that bring good things out of their good hearts. Evil people bring evil stuff out of their evil hearts, okay? And it is so important that God wants in our life, the life of a believer, is he wants our hearts, our lives, to bring forth. He created a way for that to happen. Now, here's the thing. Just like some of us, and I've driven the four corners of Zambia, and there are places where you drive, and you don't see people. All right? People that believe in overpopulation of the world have not been to Zambia. They've not been here yet because obviously we've got huge tracts of land. There's nobody there, all right? But here's the other thing. When there's nobody there, there's no fruit. There's no beautiful gardens. There's no beautiful production going on because people aren't there, all right? Turn with me to Psalm chapter 1. Not chapter 1, the first psalm. Psalm 1. I love this psalm. It's the very first time that I ever heard the Word of God preached. I grew up in a church where sermons did not include the Bible. For real. They just told stories and something out of a magazine and it was interesting. But I never heard the Word of God preached before. And there's this wonderful Anglican spirit-filled guy in Baltimore, Maryland, Father Zampino, and he expounded on this passage. And I remember just being a little kid thinking, wow, the Bible's actually kind of cool. All right. Psalm 1, verse 1, it says, "Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the way of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord. And in his law, he meditates day and night." Now, we're going to see in Mark chapter 4 that what God wants to produce from our heart and what he wants to bring forth is the Word of God. The Word of God is a seed. And when it is planted into the right heart and it is cultivated and accepted and we keep the weeds out, it will bear fruit. And that's what God wants for our life. And so here's a man who made some wonderful decisions in verse 1. And in verse 2 it says, his delight is in the law of the Lord. Now, I want you to just kind of pause and think right now. What is it in your life that you delight about or delight in? All right. To delight means it makes you happy. All right. There's this wonderful clip on YouTube. This little boy who learns to ride a bike for the very first time. He's about 5 years old. And on this video, the dad asks him, says, "How do you feel?" And he says, I feel happy of myself. Do you have experiences like that in life where you just feel happy of yourself? I don't know what it is that kind of does it for you. I know over the Christmas break, our son was home, our daughter was there, and it was just the family, and we got multiple pieces of meat. We had boerewors, we had pork ribs. I marinated chicken half the day. And we put that on a braai, on a grill. And when we sat down, and there was potatoes, and there was dessert, and everything. And I tell you what, every 5 to 10 minutes, I would just delight. As I hear my daughter, here's my kids, my wife. I've got this flavor just bursting from my mouth. And by the way, I'm the one who cooked it. You know it to be true. All right. The male ego is an interesting thing, all right? But it was delightful. It was delightful. I don't know what happens for you, but delight means you find great pleasure in it. So much so that typically you want to do it again. How many of you, a little kid that discovers something that he likes, that's fun, you know, if they jump into a pool and they realize they're not going to die and this is fun, again, daddy, again. And they'll do it for 2 hours. Again. That's delight. Well, this man, his delight is in what God says. And he meditates in it day and night. Now, we've got to understand that the Hebrew word there for meditate is not going to a yoga class and sitting in a lotus position. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. That's not Bible meditation. The Hebrew word there means to mutter, to say. That the word of God is in your heart. The word of God is in your lips. And that is that all day, all night, it basically says all the time, the first thing that comes to your mind is, what does God say? What does God say? I've got this opportunity to cut some corners and to make a deal. Wait a second. My delight, what I love is God's word. So what does God say? Oh, he said he hates unjust balances when people cheat. Oh, if he hates it, I hate it too. Because I delight in the word of God. Amen? Somebody says, if you're a young lady, you know, and you're finding this guy, and he has a nice complexion. He looks like Denzel Washington. And, you know, and it just, everything is going right. And he said, oh, baby, let me show you how much I love you.
All right.
Whoa. My delight is not in Denzel. My delight is in what God says. And God says, keep my purity until I offer it as a gift to my husband on my wedding night. That's my delight. Oh, I love that. I delight in the Word of God. The beginning of the month comes and you got this money and you think, I should probably help somebody. I know I should tie it to the church. Oh, but man, I need, I want. Oh, Monda Hill is beckoning. I hear the voice of the sales coming. No, my delight is in this Word. Amen. Now, let's look at what happens to the guy or the lady who lives out verse 1. They make some really good choices. Their delight is in the law of the Lord. In verse 3, he shall be like a tree. Here's his agriculture stuff again, right? He, this guy, shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that brings forth its fruit in its season. Tell your neighbor, God wants you to be fruity. We were designed that way. We were wired that way. There is fruit that is to come from our life in due season. And whose leaf also shall not wither. And whatever he does, shall prosper. Now, verse 3. Doesn't that sound like a nice life? Man, I want verse 3. He shall be like a tree. Well, here's the thing. He comes from verses 1 and verse 2. Now, we want verse 3, but we want to go down other paths. Well, maybe, what if after church is done, I'll go and sit in Pastor Walker's chair and I'll partake of his anointing. Yeah, people do that. Here's the folks, I'm sorry to tell you, when I go home, God's anointing on me, it goes with me. I don't leave it on a chair by accident. All right. I want this year to go well. So let me drink 3 gallons of anointed water and pour anointed oil on my head. And then this will be the, let somebody impart prosperity to me. Folks, listen. Prosperity is not imparted. There is not one verse in the Bible that even implies that. Oh, let me give a special first fruit seed offering to this person who has a special anointing because somebody laid hands on them who had a special anointing, and then I'll have a breakthrough because this pastor is greedy and he wants your money. And he won't pray for you unless you give him money. Anyone who wants your money before praying, walk away quickly. Walk away quickly. It's happening a lot, but it's not going to happen to you because you know the Word. Amen? All right. So, but here's how this fruitful life happens. It's somebody who makes good decisions in verse 1. And then their delight is the Word of God. It's not just something they hear for 40 minutes on a Sunday and then they live an entirely different way. No, if you love something, you hang out with it. You do it. All right? I invite you in 2013, get to know God through His Word like never before. Put it first in your life. I've challenged myself, and I'm accountable to somebody else, that in the mornings, there's certain scriptures and certain truths that I want to put in my heart every day. Not necessarily truths I haven't heard before, but truths that perhaps have slipped, or sometimes it gets a little cloudy with the reality of life. Amen? So this guy is fruitful. He is bringing forth the Word that's in his heart. Okay, now, one of the greatest keys to fruit bearing is the miracle of the seed. All right? The seed has life in itself. Now, we've been studying geneticists, botanists. It is a miracle. And there's life in the seed. And when it's put into the right conditions, it grows. All right? God designed life to work that way. Now, turn over to Mark chapter 4. Mark chapter 4, because we're going to look at and this wonderful parable of how God wants your life to look. Mark chapter 4, verse 3, Jesus said, "Listen, behold, a sower went out to sow. And I'm going to skip down. We'll come back to the middle part. But the end of the parable is the good ending, the good version. All right, there's four conditions of soil. The first three don't work out. They're not fruitful. The last one is. Verse 8. But other seed fell on good ground and yielded a crop that sprang up. Everybody say, sprang up. Increased and produced some 30-fold, some 60, and some 100. And he said to them, he who has ears to hear, let him hear. The disciples said, Jesus, we don't really understand this. So he explains it to him. And in fact, it's the only parable in the whole Bible that Jesus, in sense, interprets or he explains. All right, in verse 13, he said to them, do you not understand this parable? How then will you understand all the parables? So it sounds like this is important, right? Jesus is putting an importance on this. Verse 14, the sower sows the word. The sower sows the word. All right? Now, many folks here in Lusaka find themselves traveling, moving countries, moving cities, and I'm constantly asked, Pastor, you know, we're moving to Kitwe or Ndola or Sydney or Joburg, you know, can you recommend a church? And usually we can, all right? But the bottom line, any church you go to better have a high content of the Word, of the Bible being taught and lived, all right, by example. Because the seed is what is going to cause the growth in your life. My opinions, my stories, my illustrations, that's just maybe put some spice around it. The Word of God is what causes growth in your life. Amen? So you need to value the Word of God. All right? Now, just a practical suggestion for you, for folks here. All right? Bring a Bible with you. Bring a Bible with you on Sunday. We've got, they're all different kinds in the bookshop. You can get them from the Bible Society. Bring the Word of God with you. Because if you don't bring a Bible, I could say, thus saith the Lord. And how do you know it's this? It might have been, thus saith Walker. You know, there are people that say stuff like, well, you know, the Lord says he'll help those who help himself. Well, that's not the Bible. Well, you know, God says God's in control. He never said that. There's no Bible verse that implies that. You've got to know the Word for yourself. There's a great group of people in the book of Acts, the Bereans. They heard Paul and they loved his teaching. But then they would go home and they'd say, what Paul said, is it in the Bible? Is it so? You've got to know that, folks. When you turn on the radio, when you turn on the TV and somebody's preaching, somebody invites you to a service, you've got to know. And just because the guy has 12 buttons on his jacket doesn't mean he's preaching the Word. The guy that, Reverend Sung Young Moon, he was an international preacher. Just because somebody's an international preacher, they could be internationally ignorant. Internationally deceived. Well, I've preached in 34 continents. Yeah, and you spread falsehood in all 34. Okay, hallelujah. You've got to know the Word. Bring a Bible with you to church. Bring a notebook with you. Is there stuff that's going to be said that's important for you to remember later? Well, I just, you know, I want to be encouraged. Well, go rent a sweet movie on DVD if you want to be encouraged. Listen to a nice song on the radio if you want to be encouraged. Come to church to get fed. Come to church to hear the Word of God and to apply it to your life so that I'm going to be Psalm 1:3 guy. My life is going to look like a tree. There's going to be, I'll tell you, fruit happens in my life. Amen? All right, so the sower sows the Word. And in three instances, the Word has no effect. It doesn't produce anything. Verse 20, but these are the ones sown on good ground. Those who hear the Word, accept it, and bear fruit. That's God's design for your life, to bear fruit. What fruit? The fruit of His Word. Some 30-fold, some 60, and some 100. It is supposed to happen like the last one. But the one of the main points of this parable is that 75% of the time, 3 out of 4 instances, it did not happen the way that God designed for it to happen. Was there a sower problem? No. Was there a seed problem? No. Was there a God problem? No. There was a ground problem. Amen? Whose ground? You and I are ground. Now, please, don't call your neighbors or your friends. You're nothing but a, you know, piece of dirt. Okay, that's not nice. But the fact is, our heart is likened to dirt. Now, let's go back up and see where this didn't work out so well. In verse 15, remember, the sower sows the word. These are the ones by the wayside where the word is sown. When they hear, Satan comes immediately and takes away the word that was sown in their hearts. Let me tell you, if you come to Miracle Life for any length of time, Satan does not like that. He doesn't. Now, there are awesome, awesome churches in this city that are preaching the word of God. Satan does not like the fact that you come to church where the word of God is being preached. He's not a big fan of that. Okay? Satan comes immediately, takes the word that was sown in their hearts. Likewise, these are the ones sown that the word was sown on stony ground. When they hear the word, immediately they receive it with gladness. These are people that say amen. These are people that get excited. All right? But what happened after the excitement? They have no root in themselves. There's no depth in their heart. Okay? And so they only endure for a time. Afterward, when tribulation or persecution arises for the word's sake. Folks, you better get ready. And it's happening around the world. I better not say that. But people will fight you about the Bible. And it's getting worse, and it's getting worse. And there are huge swaths of beliefs on the earth today where people blatantly deny what God says. They blatantly deny. And it is becoming worse. And for you to stand up and say, well, I think that I should have one wife for the rest of my life. And that death will separate us. And I'm going to be faithful to her. And I'm a one-woman man. You'll be persecuted for that. You know, I believe what the Bible says. Don't be drunk with wine or beer or Johnny Walker. Don't be drunk with that stuff. That's what I believe. Well, who are you? You goody two-shoes, you happy clapper. What do you, say we're not? I didn't say anything. I just said no thank you. That's all I said, no thank you. Ah, you Christians, you're just a bunch of the world will go crazy. For the word's sake. For the word of God that has been sown into your heart and now it's bearing fruit. There are huge swaths of populations in our earth that are not going to like that at all. Okay? Tribulation, persecution came. Verse 18. These are ones. Now there are the ones sown among thorns. They are ones who hear the word. And the cares of the world, the deceitfulness of riches, the desire for other things entering in, choke the word. Choke the word. Now, it doesn't say things choke the word. It's the desire for things. If you think that a motor vehicle is going to make you happy, you are deceived. If you save your money and by hook and by crook, you get the C320. The problem is next year there's a C321 and then a C325 and you got it with 17 speakers. Next year there's 37 speakers and people are going to prang it and dent it and it doesn't smell like leather anymore. It smells like chips and samosas because you eat them on the way to work. And this car doesn't make me happy. And you save up and you get the LED 60 and now there's the LED 3D XYZ 62. But people make that their pursuit and their pursuit and I've got to have it. And what happens? It chokes the word. It chokes the word. We say this to our premaritals. I'll say it to the whole church. If you're a married person, you need to live where your spouse lives. If your spouse is in Chingola, you need to live in Chingola. If your spouse lives in Sydney, Australia, you need to live in Sydney, Australia. Well, you know, we're living apart for 2 years because of money, honey. They've got a good job. Well, good for them. Then move there. Well, no, you see, I haven't been transferred. Well, here's something you can do. Resign. Write a letter. I'm leaving. I'm going with my spouse. Oh, no, it will be okay. Listen, listen, listen. I can count on one hand, not two hands, one hand, the number of people that works out for. No, we really love each other. Yeah, you love each other, and you got to sleep in the same bed, too. There is no money, there is no job that is worth losing your marriage, losing your kids. Folks, don't do it. And I tell you, if enough Christians will tell some of these companies, I don't live apart from my spouse, they'll get a message. If you're a human resource director, don't ask people to do that. If you're in GRZ, don't ask people to do that. Get another job. Be a taxi driver. Dig ditches. Wash windscreens. But stay with your partner. Stay with your spouse. Be married. Amen? See, this is the Word of God. This is staying. The Word of God is what is going to delight my heart and my soul. I'm getting some resistance. Now listen, I love you. I love you. I love you. I love you. But some of you that are rejecting this are going to come and see me in 3 years with tears in your eyes. My husband cheated on me. Must have been a demon. Somebody put a hex on him. No, it's because you didn't live together. Oh no, my husband's spiritual. Yes, and he lives in a body. Say, I love my pastor. All right. Our heart was designed to bring forth. To bring forth what? The Word of God. It is when the Word of God leaps off the pages and leaps out of the sermons, and it is now in your lifestyle. It's in your lifestyle. Now, the thing about the all that about our heart and the conditions of our heart, what God is saying is the condition of your heart is your job. It's your responsibility. Proverbs 4:23 says, above all else, what does that mean? Listen, this is really important. Above all else, guard your heart. For out of it, with all diligence, for out of it come the issues of life. You are living life out of your heart. What are you putting in your heart? What are you allowing in your heart? I hope when you come to church, you get inspired to love your wife. I hope you get inspired to be good to your spouse. But let me tell you, folks, if you come to church on Sunday for 40 minutes, and the rest of the week you fill it with Channel O, there's a reason why it's called Channel O. Oh, no. Huh? And you hear songs and you see videos where women are just basically like a boat or a car. They're just playthings. They degrade and degenerate the value that God put in women. And you allow that into your heart. Well, I just like the beat. Well, I know you like the beat. But that poison is going into your heart. Mambo number 5. You better pick mambo number 6. A little bit of Jessica over here. A little bit of Ron. No, you don't need a little bit, a little bit, a little bit. You need one woman for the rest of your life. And her hair's going to grow gray. Some of it's going to fall out. You're going to get fat. And you love that woman for the rest of your life. I want all the men to say this with me. All the men, whether you're single, whether you're 2 years old or 82 years old, say this with me. I'm a man I'm God's man, and I am a one-woman man. Okay, now listen. Oh, wait. Some of you men didn't join in because you didn't know what we were going to say. You thought I was going to make you say something else. All right, every man in the building, say this with me. Say, I'm a man, I'm God's man, and I am a one-woman man. I have eyes for one woman. My body is for one woman. My heart, my affections, my emotions are for one woman. One woman. Now you can hear who's cheering, right?
Oh, hallelujah, praise the Lord, glory to God, hallelujah.
If you're married, it's your spouse. If you're married, it's your spouse. If you're single, to be continued. Tune in next week. Get ready, get ready, get ready. She's on the way. But if you're not married, she's on the way. But you're saving yourself to be a one-woman man. See, that's what you need to feed and put into your heart. And listen, folks, the world doesn't believe that. The world doesn't live that way. The world doesn't want that way. So you have to what? Guard your heart. Get out your sword. Get out your weapons. And anybody that messes with what God is doing in your heart, get out of here. Get out of here. Men, single or married. And let me, I know we've got a lot of young people. But if you begin to have any degree of success in life, all right, and your name has manager or assistant manager, sometimes and in some places, there will be ladies that see you. And they don't love you. They love your paycheck. And they love the fact that you can take them on free trips to Joburg. And they can get Gucci purses that are spelled wrong. They don't love you. But they don't come out and say to you, hello, I am here to ruin your life. I am here to wreck your marriage. I am here so that half of everything you own is going to be given to your wife. She's going to get remarried, and there's going to be another guy that's going to live in your house. And you're going to become an alcoholic and drink your sorrows away. God bless you today. No, they don't come that way. They might come and just put a little hand on your jacket. Hey, can I get you some tea today? Listen. Tell her to back off. Nobody touches my body other than my wife. Back off. Don't be rude, but like smack, give her a little smack. No, but here's the thing. When that happens, especially because you forgot to pay the bills and your wife was harping on you in the morning, you feel like, hey, somebody appreciates me. Somebody notices me. She touches you. Oh, have you been working out? Subtlety. And see, it feeds the male ego. Now, the male ego was given to us by God. It's why we build bridges, win wars, and do big stuff. Right? Thank God for the male ego. But if the male ego, apart from God, ends up at arcades with low-riding cars with lights underneath of them, with a bearing blaze, boom, 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 riding in my car. Thinking that you don't see any woman driving down arcades. Hey, driving in a low riding. You don't see women acting that crazy. Men like to be noticed. Right? Sanctify your ego, men. Add the word of God to it. Let it be driven by God and not by insecurity. Not by some 23-year-old UNSA student who's coming for your soul. Read Proverbs 6, 5, 6, and 7. Her bed leads to hell. Thus saith the Lord. That's what God said. Now, how many of you know that means there's got to be a big warning, warning, warning? Amen? Say it with me again, men. I am a one-woman man. No, no, some of you don't have your mouth open. You need to say it. Stand up, men. Stand up. Stand up. Lift up your hand. Close your eyes. Say, I am God's man. I follow in His ways. I listen to His word. My body is His temple. I sanctify my lifestyle to please my God. I am a one-woman man. I have eyes for one woman. I have a heart towards one woman. And if I need to make some adjustments, I will do so. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Men, listen to me, and this is by the Spirit of God. Some of you men in this auditorium, before you leave this building, you need to delete some names from your cell phones. Delete them. Delete them. And then empty the trash can. Wipe out the emails. Oh, but Pastor, you know, I think I'll hurt her. Oh, yes, you will. I'll do it with style. Yeah. Let her know that you don't mess with Miracle Life men. Yeah. Yeah, you don't mess with Miracle Life men. Amen. Oh, boy, how did I get off on this? This is not what I'm supposed to preach on today. All right, but what we're talking about is putting the Word of God first. When I got saved and I began to follow the Lord, I was a child of the 70s and the 80s, the charismatic move. And I tell you what, if you didn't have a teaching tape in your car, you were backslidden. Honestly, I mean, we'd spend so much money on teaching tapes, and I had Brother Hagin and Jerry Seville and Kenneth Copeland and Nora. I was just feeding on the Word of God, feeding on the Word of God. You know what? And I know with the charismatics, we did some funny things back then, but you know what? I think we need to get back to some of those days. Turn off talk radio and put on Jesus radio. Fill your heart and fill your mind with the things of God. Amen. Amen. Delight in His law. Delight in His word. And see what happened. Well, what will begin to produce out of your heart? Because it's designed to. How do I change? God, how does this happen? Keep your heart right before Him. Keep offenses out. Folks, in 2013, this is not a prophecy, it's just a statement. In fact, Jesus said it. Offenses will come. People will make you mad. People will do things against you. Forgive them. Keep your heart light. See, when you hold on to offenses, the Word of God just bounces off of your heart. It doesn't go into the heart. Amen? Guard your heart and let God's Word grow. Let it produce fruit. Amen? That's God's will for you this year. I believe it'll take place. Let's pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank You for giving us instruction. But also, Lord, You've given us an assignment. And that is that we are to guard our heart. We are to keep things in it, and we are to keep things out of it. And that's our call, God. It's up to us. And Father, this life is too short to be messing around. It's too short to be wasting time with weeds, with distractions. Father, may we put Your word and give it preeminence in our life. May we not be like the Pharisees that Jesus said that you make the Word of God of no effect because of the traditions that you learn from your fathers. May we learn from our Father God how to handle our money, how to handle our body, how to have relationships, how to pray. Lord, we want to learn. We want to grow. Lord, we want to bear fruit. There's so much thirst and there's so much hunger in our world. May we be the tree that people come to. May our family be the one that is the role model. May our marriage be a light. May the way we do our job and conduct our business, may that be the pattern that other people can see and say, I want to do it that way. Help us, Lord. We need your help. We need your help. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. I just feel, just with every head bowed and every eye closed, some of you need to get some things off of the menu of your life. Doctors tell us that we are what we eat. And you eat the wrong things, it can affect your health. You eat the right things, it can produce health. Some of you need to get some things off of the menu of your life. The media decisions that you make, songs and movies and TV, is it healthy? Is it, well, but it's funny, it's exciting. Is it healthy? Is it healthy? What you give your emotions to, what keeps you up at night? You need to get some things off of the menu. You need to watch what you hear concerning the Word of God. I would never make any claim to say that I know it all. I certainly don't. But some of you are in this room, you're listening to nonsense. You're listening to stuff about the Word of God that is not true. You're being deceived. You need to get that off the menu. You need to get the Word of God back on your menu. Why? God wants you to bear fruit. He doesn't want there to be thorns and weeds and stuff that's not going to give life. If you need to make that adjustment, do it. Do it. Make that adjustment right now. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. We have grace to turn, grace to repent, grace to follow you. Thank you, Father. If you're here today and you're not in the family of God, if you don't know Jesus Christ, He loves you. 2,000 years ago, He died on a cross. He died between two criminals who were paying for their own sins. Yet Jesus was dying not for His sin, but it also wasn't a mistake. You see, when Jesus went to the cross, the Bible says that God, His very own Father, He took all of our sin, all of the sin that has ever been committed or will ever be committed, and He placed it on His Son. The Bible says He became sin, and He became that sin offering for us. He paid a price. Why? So that we don't have to. God punished His own Son so that He could be good to you. It's already happened. What is our response? Well, you see, you've got to believe that, and you must receive that. You must receive that life. You must receive that forgiveness. While it is available to all, every single person must make a choice about Jesus Christ. On Friday at this church, we had a funeral. Probably all of us have been to a funeral. But one day, all of us in this room will go to a funeral, and we will not walk to that funeral. Our body will be put into a box, and we will come into that funeral. We will be gone by then. Our spirit will have left our body. And when that happens, there's only one question that God will ask, and that is, what did you believe about Jesus Christ? Well, I thought He was a good man. I went to church on Easter. I think my parents told me I was baptized when I was a baby. That's not going to be what God wants to hear, what He needs to hear. He needs to know that you have accepted Him personally, that you've trusted in Him, and that you follow Him. See, heaven is not reserved for perfect people or even for good people, but for those who have been forgiven based on Jesus. If you're here today and you've never received that gift, you can. You can. It's now your choice. You can believe. The Bible says you must believe. If you're here in this place and you're a backslidden Christian, your life is a mess, you've made some poor decisions, you can make a decision. You can come home to a God who loves you, who will cleanse you, who will restore you. He can do that. He can do it for you. Right now, if you're in this place and you say, Pastor, I'm ready to make that decision. I want to follow Jesus. I want to come back to Him. Wherever you are in this auditorium, simply lift up your hand. Say, that's me. That's me. Because, again, this is your choice. God bless you there in the back. Anybody? Yes, over here in the middle. Yes, sir. God bless you. Over here, yes. Who else? making a good decision. I'm going to follow. I'm going to accept this life. God bless you, ma'am. Over here, thank you, sir. Yes, sir. Wonderful, wonderful. God bless you, sir. Yes, thank you, sir. This is your decision. This is your call. There's a life that awaits you. Before we pray, anybody else? Thank you, sir. Can we all stand to our feet in the auditorium? We're going to go in just a few short minutes, but we want to do something very, very important. If you lifted up your hand and you say, Pastor, I'm making that decision. I want Jesus Christ in my life. I want Him to be in my heart. I want to accept His forgiveness and His love. Right now, wherever you are, just grab whatever you brought with you to church. And I want you to come and meet me up front. I want to be able to shake your hand. I want to be able to pray with you individually. And in a sense, it's a good way of saying, you know what, I'm taking a step. I'm leaving my old life and I'm following Jesus. God bless you, ma'am. Oh, wonderful. God loves you. He cares for you. God bless you, sir. He loves you. He loves you. God bless you, sir. He loves you so much. God bless you. God bless you. Wonderful. What a good day. What a good day to know Jesus. God bless you, ma'am. Now, this Bible. Oh, somebody's coming. Yeah, good, good, good. Thank you, sir. This Bible, if I was going to give it to you, how would you get it? If it's free, I paid for it, but I wanted to give it to you. How would you get it? You would receive it, right? You'd reach out. And that's what we're going to do. Thank you, sir. What God has for you, forgiveness, new life, restoration, Jesus paid an extremely high price for it. It was very expensive. But the fact is, you don't have to pay. He paid the price. But we receive by faith. We receive this wonderful free gift into our lives. Are you ready to do that? All right. Would you just lift up your hand towards heaven and close your eyes and just say this with me. Say, God, I believe that you love me. I believe that you sent Jesus Christ to die in my place. He was punished for my sins. You raised him from the dead so that I could know you. Jesus, come into my heart. Come into my life. I leave my sin forever and I follow you. Thank you, Father. I'm in your family. You're going to teach me. You're going to change me. I will never be the same. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.